So I mentioned earlier that the theme for today's service is taste and see that the Lord is good. And we've just heard the passage from Philippians chapter 3. And when I read it, I feel as if Paul takes us on a bit of a journey with this passage. Now, we didn't read all of it. We started from the 4th verse. But if I had to describe all of it kind of in food terms, I would say that Paul starts off on a light floral note. So he starts off by telling the Philippians to rejoice in the Lord, you know? It's sweet. We all like to rejoice. It's subtle and you hope for more of the same. But then abruptly, literally in the second verse, he just switches up and we get a strong, maybe even a slightly sour flavor that comes through as he launches into a bit of a tirade against the opponents of the gospel, calling them dogs and evildoers. Now, I'm always surprised when I come across language like this in the Bible because you don't expect it, but he calls them dogs and evildoers, and he warns the Philippians to beware of them. Now, the people that Paul is talking about, they were called Judaizers, and they believed that the Gentile believers at that time, if they were to accept the gospel, first of all, they had to obey by all the commandments of the Old Testament. And Paul is speaking against this, and it's not the first time he's done so either, because he goes into a lot more detail on that in Acts and Galatians. So you can almost say it's like a herb that he reaches for often whilst cooking together and putting together the Gospels that he writes. Or not the Gospels, the epistles rather, I should say. So Paul was completely against what they were teaching. He was more of the idea that spiritual progress could not come through obedience to all those Old Testament rules, but he had met Christ personally and he believed and knew that Jesus is the only way to true freedom and salvation. So then he says all of this within the first two verses, and then he starts to move towards, in the verses we heard, what I would call the main dish of the chapter. So if you think of it like a meat and two veg, then I would call this the potatoes. So it's not quite the meat, but you know, it's nonetheless a key part of the dish. And that is what is going on in the passages we heard. Because Paul moves on to describing what God has done for him, and there's an explosion of different flavors that's going on. And I'm going to go off on a bit of a tangent, but stay with me. I'll try and wrap it all together, and hopefully it will all make sense at the end. So lately, I found myself being very curious about evangelism. Because generally, I feel as if there has been a decline in evangelism in the church, not just in the UK, but in the US as well. So last week, I was at an evangelism conference, and they were discussing this. And one of the stats they mentioned at the conference, which really shocked and surprised me, was they mentioned a stat based on research by Barna Group, which says that 47% of millennials think it's wrong to share your beliefs with someone of a different faith in hopes that they will someday share your faith. So 47% of millennials think it's wrong to share your beliefs or your faith with someone else. Now, I find that shocking because I'm a millennial. Are we all familiar with the terms millennial, Gen Z, all of that? No? Okay, a few people shaking their heads. So millennials, I'm a millennial. I think millennials were born from, I think it's 1980 to 2000s. So basically born around the millennium when that happened. Gen Z is the kind of generation after me. So my younger brothers are Gen Z. So Gen Zs are in their early 20s at the moment. And then before millennials, we have Gen X. So my older brother is Gen X. And then before that, we have baby boomers. And then before that, we have what they're called the elders. And then after Gen Z, we have Generation Alpha, because it's gone back to the beginning. Hopefully that makes sense. But millennials are basically people of my age group. So these are the people who think it's wrong to share your faith. So I found the statistics shocking because of that. But I also found it shocking because these were Christians that were surveyed. So it's not that they spoke to a population in, I think this is from the US. It's not that they just spoke to the general population in the US. They spoke to Christians, practicing Christians, and 47% of them thought it was wrong to share your faith. But at the same time, 94% of this same group said that they believe that the best thing that can ever happen to someone is for them to come to know Jesus. So 47% of them think we shouldn't share our faith, and yet a staggering 94% think the best thing that can ever happen to someone is for them to come to know Jesus. So there's a bit of discord here. Something is not quite matching up, because evidently they've had an experience of God. They think everyone needs to know God, it's amazing, but they don't want to tell anyone about God, and nearly half of them think that it's actually wrong for us to share our faith with others. Now, in the passage we read, as I was reading through it, I thought, oh, this is Paul basically telling his story of how he met God. And this is actually one of the things they teach us to do in the evangelism workshops I've been to. So they teach us to kind of give a 2-minute elevator pitch of your faith, what God has done for you. So you kind of follow the basic format of before Christ, I met Christ, and then after Christ. So before Christ, I was a liar, I was a thief, I was addicted to drugs or alcohol, and then I met Jesus, and now I don't do any of that anymore. I'm no longer a liar, no longer a thief, no longer addicted to drugs or alcohol. Jesus has changed my life for the better. So they teach us to give this 2-minute elevator pitch. And that is basically what we see Paul doing in this passage. So he starts off by saying, you know, that he was circumcised on the 8th day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I now count as loss for the sake of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. So he's basically saying that before Jesus, he was esteemed, he was educated, well-respected, all of that. But now he's met Jesus, that he counts everything that he used to think was amazing, that he used to boast in, he now sees that that's actually worthless compared to knowing Jesus. And it sounds scary, because it sounds as if he's telling us that since he got to know Jesus, he's lost everything, and that life is terrible because he's now in prison, he's persecuted. But actually, it's quite a beautiful testimony, because he's basically saying, think of the best thing you can have in this world. Okay, whether it's a car, whether it's a mansion in the sun somewhere, think of the best thing you can have in this world. And Paul is saying Jesus is better than all of that. Jesus is better than all of that. And this is coming after he had maybe, I don't know, 90 seconds of an encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. And that short encounter changed his life forever. And yet, as Christians today, we are claiming that the best thing that could ever happen to someone is for them to know Jesus. But at the same time, it's wrong to share your beliefs with someone of a different faith. And that to me is slightly, it's troubling. I'm not going to lie. I've been thinking about it since I heard the statistic, and it's troubling. Because if we have an encounter with Jesus, we see this throughout the whole of the Bible, Old Testament and New. When we have an encounter with God, an encounter with Jesus, there is no way we can stay the same. There is no way we can keep it inside. So in the Old Testament, the prophet Jeremiah, he says that when he tries to keep the word of God inside and not talk about God, it's like fire in his bones and he can't contain it. So he has to speak about God. And that is what it should be like. It should be like eating a meal that is so good that we just have to go and tell everyone about it. You know, when you go to a restaurant that has amazing service, amazing food, and you just go and you tell everyone about it afterwards. I take the tube a lot just to travel around, and there's an advert I see a lot on the undergrounds that I actually really like, and it's by Pastor Evangelist. Has anyone heard of them? No, I encourage you to check them out. They are beautiful. Anyway, it's for Pastor Evangelist, and the people who founded Pastor Evangelist, they're people who, they say that they are so passionate about fresh pasta and their love of fresh artisan pasta that they founded Pastor Evangelist because they believe that everyone needs to be evangelical about pasta. And this is how we need to be. We also need to be not just pastor evangelists, but just evangelical full stop. We need to have tasted God and to say, oh, this is so good that actually I want everyone to know how good this is. We know too much as Christians. We know too much about the goodness and grace of God to be keeping it inside and to be keeping quiet about it. And I think in our day and age, discernment is very necessary, because I feel as if the devil is operating in ever more boldly, but also more subtly. Because for us to have experienced something as good as Jesus, and for 94% of people to say that Jesus is the best thing that's ever happened to them, but at the same time say they shouldn't tell anyone about it, I think this is one of the ways in which Satan operates, by trying to get us to keep quiet, by trying to get us to say, oh, we need to be good citizens. We shouldn't bother other people about our faith, you know. We should just let them be and let them come to know by themselves. But how will they come to know if no one tells them? So I'm reading a book by C.S. Lewis at the moment. Some of you may know it. It's called The Screwtape Letters. A few nods. And it's really interesting because it's written from the perspective of two demons. So there's an older demon and there's a younger demon, and the older demon is teaching the younger demon the ways how to be a demon, and basically how to, so he has a Christian assigned to him and he's teaching him everything he needs to do to make sure this Christian doesn't advance in his faith. And one of the things that comes out in this book is that it says that, you know, the devil doesn't actually care if we're Christians. The devil doesn't care if we come to church or read the Bible, but he doesn't want us telling anyone else about God. And he doesn't want us actually living out the faith. So we can read the Bible all we want. We can come to church all we want. As long as once we leave those doors, that's it. We don't tell anyone about it. We don't live out what we read in the Bible. We don't act with love. We don't act in obedience with the word of God. So I mentioned that I was troubled by today's passage, mainly because I feel as if we should be acting in that way, that if we've met Christ, then surely we should go out and tell other people about it. But some of you when you heard it, may have felt troubled in another way. You may have felt troubled at the fact that Paul seemingly loses everything in becoming a follower of Jesus. And maybe that is what is holding you back from truly committing to God. The fear that, oh, but what if I'm persecuted? Maybe that is why 47% of people don't want to speak about Jesus. Because what if they lose friends? What if they lose family members? And maybe that is what is troubling us and holding us back. I want to offer some reassurance by suggesting that maybe the beauty and the grace of the gospel isn't in the fact that, you know, we prosper and we gain freedom and we gain peace and we gain love and all of that. That's amazing, that's beautiful. But maybe the true grace and beauty of the gospel is the fact that we even get to know Jesus. I mean, if we stop to think about that, that is pretty major. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Son of God, we can read the Bible and get to know him through the Bible. For me, that blows my mind when I stop to think about it. That is truly amazing that we can actually get to know God. And maybe the grace is that not just that we get to know him in the first place, but that even if persecution does come, even if we do lose family members, even if we do lose friends, and the Bible does mention that, but in all of that, it promises that God will keep us, he will watch over us, he will never leave us, he won't forsake us, and that we gain so much more than we could ever lose. So here's my final words for today. And if you go away with one thing, go away with this. Don't just be a pastor evangelist. Be an evangelist, full stop. And just tell someone, don't make evangelism something that's, you know, really major. It's not standing on the street with a megaphone saying, I don't know, if you think this heat wave is hot, hell is hotter, repent. It's not that. It's just telling someone about an amazing experience you've had with God, how he has touched your life personally, and just having those conversations that allows for deeper conversations and allows people to explore the faith so that others can also come to know Jesus. Because literally, like we see from the example of Paul, people just need that 90 seconds encounter with Jesus for their life to be changed forever. So the key takeaway, don't just be a pastor evangelist, be an evangelist for the gospel.